Our Bible reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through to 7. Thank you. So we're reading from the CSB version. Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, you were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, friends, today we've celebrated a significant milestone in the faith life of Marty and of our congregation. Baptism and profession of faith as an adult is a significant event in the life of a believer. And so today we need to think about what it is that actually happened here today, what it signifies, what it means for Marty in particular. So in our passage, Paul tells us that the faith that God gives and that Marty's baptism and his profession of faith as an adult signifies has a threefold significance. And so we're going to look at these three different things. The first thing is that the baptism signifies his death. So verse 3, are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were also baptized into his death? Now, before we delve into this, we need to understand that the baptism Paul writes here about, talks about, assumes something. It assumes a context in which the Romans to whom this passage was written are new believers. And so when we read the words that all of us who were baptized into Christ, it assumes that the person had come to a saving faith in Jesus. And so in the context of this passage, baptism and faith go together. And so if you didn't have faith, you were not baptized. And when we read then about someone's baptism, it's essentially a synonym in this context for having faith, for having accepted the promises of Christ. Now, as we read this morning, baptism is a physical outward sign of an inward reality. It is a sign that baptism is given as a sign that you are part of God's covenant family. And just like the old Israelites received the sign of circumcision that physically marked a person as being part of the covenant, so too baptism marks us spiritually as someone who is one of God's covenant people. And so, since Marty has come to faith, it is right for him to have received this sign that he too has been adopted into the family of God as a believer. But now notice in our passage, the key issue isn't actually the baptism here. While it is right and true and good that that believers should be baptized, that Marty should have been baptized, it's not that baptism is the key issue here. The key issue here is faith, because the faith is the thing that God grants. And so because God has granted faith, baptism should happen. Now, what does this faith and baptism show us? Well, first it shows us that we have died with Jesus. When we become new believers, when we become Christians, we are joined with Christ in his death. That is true of every believer, whether they come as a child who is raised in a Christian family or come later in life as an adult believer. Faith that God gives us when we believe in Jesus, we die. We actually die. Faith in Christ goes hand in hand with the death of the old self. And while this is something, this is sometimes a painful thing, dying to the old self, it is necessary in order for us to be resurrected into the new self. You see, our old self, the old man, used to be dead in his wrongdoing. We inherited a body of death and sin from our first parents, Adam and Eve. We are born into sin, and it is, the right and good and true punishment for sin is eternal death and separation from God. And it is this death body, this death self, that actually governs us and our actions until such a point in time that the Holy Spirit renews our hearts and we get the gift of faith. The reason we keep rejecting God's laws, rejecting God, going our own way, is because we are governed by a spirit of death. The reason we are filled with unredeemed anger and hatred and frustration is precisely because these things belong to the old self, the unredeemed, unfaithful self. And it's that old self that needs to die in order for new life with Christ to come. And when we come to believe in Jesus, the old man is dead. There is a song, it's one of my favorite songs, called The Old Man Is Dead. It's a sort of a real grungy country type song, and it captures this rather well. It tells the story of a recent convert, and his friend comes to visit him. And he asks him, you know, why aren't you still drinking? Why aren't you still painting the old town red? And then in verse 2 he says this, I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope inside. I was lost in darkness. I was searching for the light. And then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus and the old man was dead. And the man you see before you, we may look a lot the same. I might wear the same old clothes and answer to the same old name. But that's because you're looking from the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man because the old man is dead. Marty, this is what has happened for you. When you came to believe in Jesus, you were joined with him in his death. The old man died. The power of the old man in your life has been broken. The old man is dead. And when you became a believer, you were baptized into Jesus' death. And that's the first thing we need to grapple with today. But that's not all that happens. You see, when we come to faith, we don't just die. We're also raised. We're resurrected. We're given new life in Christ. Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death. Why? In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in the newness of life. Now, there's a problem with the old man dying, isn't there? And the problem is that the old man is, well, dead. But being a follower of Jesus is about being alive, having new life in Christ. When we come to faith, which, you know, in Marty's case is signified by a profession of faith and a baptism, then we don't just die to the old self. We're not just left in joined into Christ's death. No, we're also joined with him into his resurrection. And just as the old man is dead, so too the new man lives by the power of Christ. Marty, you've been given a new life. In some ways, it's a little bit like a caterpillar and a butterfly. You know, the caterpillar has to, in some ways, die. It has to create this metamorphosis chamber, this chrysalis, and undergo this massive transformation on a, in a whole of life transformation needs to go through it. It loses its legs, it grows wings, it transforms into something that while it has the same DNA as the caterpillar, it can now fly. It has become something beautiful. When we come to faith, when we believe in Jesus, something similar happens to us. It's the old man dies, but in his place we are joined with a spiritually alive new man in Christ. A new person emerges, and the man you see before you may look a lot the same. You might still wear the same old clothes and still wear the same old name, but that's just because you're looking from the outside. Inside, a new person has been born, a person governed not by the old self of sin and death, but by the Holy Spirit that guides and gives new life and causes our hearts to want to serve God in this new life we've been given. Now, in what sense is the new man a new man? The new man is a new man in that the old man used to be dead and alienated from God. Ephesians 2 describes it this way, "You were dead once in your transgressions and sins, which you previously walked according to the ways of the world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now at work in the disobedient." You see, before we come to Jesus, we are actually slaves to sin and serving Satan. It's a pretty rough thing to hear sometimes, but that's actually what Ephesians 2 says here. Before we become alive in Christ, we are slaves to another master. We are slaves to the death that reigns within us, sin, and the ruler of the power of the air. Before we received faith from God, we are enemies of Him. We are incapable of doing anything that pleases God. We are alien. We are hostile. We're actually living under the command of sin. It governs us. It helps us to walk according to the ways of the world. That's another way of saying that we blindly follow along with everything in our environment, never thinking about what God might want. We are spiritually dead. But now, as a new man, as a new believer, as someone who has been made spiritually alive, the Holy Spirit comes and has taken up residence in Marty's life. With the Holy Spirit living in him, he is a whole new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 puts it this way, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." So a person is different. The new man is different from the old man in that the old man used to be dead, but the new man is alive. But also, the old person lived a life of sin, but the new person lives a life for God. Romans 6, verse 6. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin." You see, friends, our life before Christ is a life ruled by sin. We are powerless but to walk away from God. We are ruled by a heart that hates the Lord. But the new man is different. The new man's life is a life of righteousness and holiness. You see, once the Holy Spirit comes to live in the heart, he changes us from the inside. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves acting more and more out of love. All of a sudden, we find ourselves wanting to obey the Ten Commandments and all their implications for our life. And of course, we don't do this instantly, of course. Normally, it's not an overnight change. But it is a change that starts with faith in the heart and continues to change throughout the life of the believer. We call this the process of sanctification. You know, we are being sanctified. We are being made more and more saintly, holy. Our life now in faith is different to the life it was before. And so, Marty, you are a new man. You have been raised with Christ, but now you have a new spiritual life to live. You are not the man you were when you were born. I suppose you were a baby then. But you're not the man you were before coming to faith. You are a new creation. You used to be dead in your trespasses and sins, but now you have been made alive in Christ. You used to have a body ruled by sin, but now you are ruled by Christ Jesus through his Holy Spirit living in your heart. And you used to hate God, but now through the work of Jesus on the cross, confirmed to you by the Spirit, you are ruled by Jesus and you love God. You are now a friend of God. You are his child, adopted into his family. And this changes you. It changes you fundamentally. And that's the third thing we need to think about today. How does the new life change us? You know, we saw that believers are baptized into Christ's death. We saw how believers are raised with Christ into his new life. Now let's look at what this means for us. What is this new way of life that Romans talks about? I'll read again from verse 4 and verse 5. "Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we may walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in the likeness of his death. We will also certainly be in the likeness of his resurrection." So we are to look like Jesus. That is what life for a Christian is supposed to look like. And the first thing we need to recognize is that that's actually really hard. And that is not most of our story. Actually, that's none of our story. We don't come to faith and all of a sudden we're perfect. I think, especially when people become believers later in life, you know, maybe baptized as adults, we tend to maybe give this impression that everything is now different. And it's true. In many ways, fundamentally, you are different. But that can create the sense that somehow, You know, temptation is no longer a problem. You somehow become magically immune to the power of the flesh over your body. But that's not normally how that works. The reality is that Marty, like all of us, all believers, are still tempted. And he will fail, just like we all fail. His life will be impacted by poor choices and by sin. Yes, it's true, he has spiritually moved from death into life, but that doesn't mean that Marty is no longer embodying a broken body. He, like all believers, are still subject to decay and to sin. And actually, when Jesus comes, unless Jesus comes before Marty, you know, turns 80, 90 or whatever, he's still going to die physically. But what is different for him and is different for every believer is that we now have a choice about how we live. Before coming to Christ, we don't have a choice. Our life is entirely ruled by an unbelieving and wicked heart. We are a slave to sin. We cannot help but sin. But now, believers have a choice. The power of sin has been broken. It is actually amazing grace that our chains are gone, right? The Holy Spirit has given us the power to choose to obey. Before Jesus, we didn't have that. Before faith, we don't have that. But with the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, the power of sin over our lives is actually broken. And so we have the power to choose to do right, even though we often still choose wrong. But there is forgiveness even when we choose wrong. But the second thing is, we also have a duty. We have a duty to keep pursuing Christ. Yes, when we come to Jesus, when we in faith accept the promises he gives us, when we become believers, we are given a promise that we will live eternally with him. As Nikki says, it's free. It's there. We will live with him eternally. But in this life, we have a duty to pursue Christ. You know, we have a duty to strive to know him better, to love him more, to follow him more closely in response of that free gift that he gives us on the cross through our faith. Marty, you have a duty. You have a duty to study God's word. You have a duty to gather with other believers, to worship together. You have a duty to pray and to seek God's will for your life, not because these things put you in good standing before God. As we've just sung, you know, nothing you can do can snatch you from God's hand, make him love you more or less. But you have this duty because you have been called into a life as a follower of Jesus. Yes, you have been saved, but salvation is the first step in a life of service. You're not just saved from your sins, although, of course, that's very, very important. But you aren't just saved from your sins. You are saved into a life of discipleship. Jesus calls you and says, come and follow me. He doesn't call you to say, come and I'll forgive your sins. He calls you to come and follow him, and you should. And so that's the second way we have this duty to pursue Jesus. That's how a new life man is different. But then finally, a resurrected life, a new life, also has a desire and a love to bring others into the kingdom too. As we read this morning, Jesus has given all his followers a task. Go into the world, make disciples, baptize them into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Every one of us here who is a believer has been called into this ministry, into a life of telling others what has happened for you in Christ, to bear witness, to testify that Jesus has saved you, that he has given you new life. You are to tell others of that, and he will use your story, perhaps even to save others. And so we have a choice now to join with the long line of Christians who have come before us, sharing the story of Jesus so that others can come too. That is what it means to be a new man made alive in Christ, a new person who has been given life through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus' work on the cross. And so if you are a believer with us here today, it is my prayer that that will be your life also. For the old man and woman is dead, but the new man and woman has been made alive in Christ Jesus, and now live accordingly. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that in the gift of grace we have, the gift of freedom from our sins through Jesus' work on the cross, dying for us, washing us clean, that we are indeed set free from the power of sin, that the old man is truly dead when we believe, that we have been joined with you in your death, but also that you've given us a new life, a resurrected life, a life that has assurance that our sins are forgiven, a life that can choose to serve you. And Lord, as you call us now to come and follow you in response, to live for you in response to what you have already done for us, we pray that you will empower us through your Holy Spirit, that you will help us fight the temptation of the world, the devil, and the flesh, that you will give us the strength we need to say no to ungodly things and to put on Christ and to live a righteous life for him. That we might have a real passion for the lost. That we might too participate in that great commission you've given us to go into the world, to baptize new believers, to teach people to obey. Because that is what you have called us to. And we pray that you will make us worthy of that calling. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.